Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Ephesians 5, the verses 17 through 33. First, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians 5, beginning with the 17th verse. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, and not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For so no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, Thou who art the sovereign ruler over the heavens and all the earth, Thou who knowest the end from the beginning, the psalmist has said that the rule reigneth, and that even concerns the smallest matters. It is written in Thy word that even the hairs of our head are numbered. So it is in Thy providence that once more on this day, that the doors of Thy house have been opened, and Thou hast taught Thy church to pray that Thy name may be glorified, and that Thy kingdom may come. Lord, may it please Thee to do it in this evening hour. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. It is written in Thy holy word that they shall fear Thee as long as the sun and the moon endure. Thou hast written that Thy word shall not return void unto Thee. And to that end, then by renewal on this Sabbath day, then we beg of Thee, we have to confess that our sins, they are great and manifold. It is all undeserved. It is sinned away. It is forfeited. May it please Thee to grant something in our hearts, what that centurion was given to experience when he has sent his servants concerning that sick servant, and when Thou wast drew nigh to his dwelling, that Thou wast sent another servant, saying, Lord, I am not worthy that Thou should come under his roof, speak the word only. Lord, wilt Thou work it by Thy Holy Spirit, and yet that great need for Thee, for Thy blessing, for Thy salvation, for Thy communion. May it please Thee to bless Thy word, when by renewal we are called upon, according to the instruction which the church has received, based upon Thy holy word, at the foot of Mount Sinai. May it be for uncovering, may it be for conversion, that we may be given to see our great and manifold sins. But may it also be used as a schoolmaster to bring to the feet of Christ, to receive that gold and that white raiment and that eye self to see. But may it also be in the part of gratitude and the life of Thy people, that they may be ashamed, that they may be humbled, and that they may be given to flee to that fountain of blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been opened for the house of David, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. O Lord, may it please Thee to work lovingly and mightily in the hearts of us and our children. Thou knowest, if Thou leavest us lie in our deep fall, and Thou art so right in so doing, that we are forever and forever lost. But may it please Thee to glorify Thy name. Thou hast never promised to work in the places of wickedness and vanity. Thou hast promised to especially to work in Thy church and in thy house where thou wast promised thy special presence. May it be experienced in this evening hour to that end. O wilt thou grant thy gracious help in speaking, give a few words, and give ears to understand, and also hearts to perceive. O Lord, wilt thou remember consistory? O wilt thou strengthen them also in the season to come, or in the day of tomorrow, then the catechism classes, then the confession of faith class hopes to commence, then the seed of thy holy word shall be sown, and then we must say, who is sufficient unto these things but all, Lord? May our eyes be upon thee. May our help and expectation come from the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth. Wilt thou open thy word? Wilt thou grant unto the instructors that they may be given to explain it in all simplicity? And may there be joy in the labors, and, oh Lord, that fruit may be seen among our youth. May they be given by thy grace to seek thee early while thou mayest be found. Wilt thou also remember when the house visitations begin? Wilt thou grant ears to listen and mouths to speak? Oh, we are so dependent upon thee for everything. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers in the midst of the congregation, that the inner chambers, that they may not be empty. Wilt thou bless thy word in the midst of the family circles. Wilt thou bless our family circles. May thy word have authority. May love abound this evening hour. We are called upon to speak about the seventh commandment that pertains to the family circles, and, oh Lord, where that love is waxing cold, what has been separated, may it please thee to bring together according to thy holy word. We remember our Christian school, wilt thou in a special way with the winter weather help and remember the bus drivers, grant traveling mercies. Ah, Lord, we need thy protection also when the roads are dry. Wilt thou help and remember the school board, help the administration in a special way. Wilt thou remember the teachers with all those that may stand at their side. Remember them and they're responsible, and may it also be a joyful task that they may be given to experience much love, obedience, and respect from their students. Wilt thou remember each student, the one has more talents than another. May they be praying students, and above all the purpose of our Christian school, that our children may be instructed out of thy holy word, that they may be given to memorize scripture and the songs they may sing, but, O Lord, the application that is thine to that end, may it please thee to grant a richer outpouring of thy Holy Spirit also in the midst of our school. We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. The established church is the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish people. Remember our mission field also in a week of elections. Wilt thou have mercy upon that country, and wilt thou graciously watch over thy servants, over the team and their families, Lord, remember the nations of the earth in this dark and solemn time under thy solemn speaking, where the virus yet goes forth. We may acknowledge thee that hitherto that thou hast kept us and our children. May it also be among the leaders, also in our nation, that there may yet be an acknowledgement that thou art the sovereign ruler, and that thou art speaking in thy justice, and that all our labors, they shall not avail without thy blessing, Lord. Then surely thou art speaking unto thy church, because it is written in thy word that the time is come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God. Wilt thou grant all what is written in thy word, that thou art waiting to be gracious for thy church to turn and to repent from evil and worldly ways. May thy speaking be used for the extension of thy glorious kingdom. Remember the many outward needs, the temporal needs. They are manifold. They are most perfectly known unto thee. Also the needs that are not known unto fellow man, the secret crosses, the scars, and the burdens, we commend them all unto thee. Remember those that are struggling with temptations and with addictions. May they be given to bow their knees and to cry mightily unto thee. Lord, remember all the mourning ones in our midst. Remember the elderly ones, those in the care home, with those that may lovingly care for them, with all our elderly ones in the evening of their life. Oh, above all things, save their never dying souls, remember all under the physician's care. And then by renewal we commend unto thee a father, and also an old mother, a widow, that hope to travel a long distance and are called upon to undergo surgery. Wilt thou remember them with their loved ones' grand traveling mercies? Do guide the hand of the physician, and may the means be blessed, and return them safely in our midst. Wilt thou remember all the handicapped ones with their difficulties, with their infirmities, and with their crosses? Grant them strength and courage, and remember their loved ones with those that may lovingly care for them. Lord, may it please thee to continue to provide the daily bread for us and our children. Teach us more and more how dependent we are upon thee for everything. And Lord, when there are not trials, when there are not troubles, when there is health and strength, may we be given to see it. And may it be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance, and in a way of blessings, and in a way of prosperity, that we forget thee not, but may it bring us closer to thy word, Lord. Wilt thou watch over us and our children in this dark and evil time? Wilt thou dwell richly amongst us, take away everything that could be a hindrance in thy house, in the dwelling places, and may thy word have free course, and that with an impression that it is sinned away. But, Lord, thou hast said in thy holy word, unto Israel I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake, And may it please thee to raise many monuments up of free and sovereign grace, and that thy children may be more a light upon a hill and the salt of the earth. Lord, may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 360, the stanzas 1 through 5. Bless the man that fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. By thy toil thou shalt be prospered and be happy all thy days. And what follows? Psalter 360, the five stanzas. and this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 41, the question and answers 108 and 109. Question 108, what does the seventh commandment teach us? Answer, that all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same, and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Question 109. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer. Since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, He forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. Lord's Day 41 speaks of the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. With three thoughts, in the first place, the purity the seventh commandment teaches. In the second place, the sins the seventh commandment condemns. And in the third place, the causes the seventh commandment forbids. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. The purity the seventh commandment teaches. The sins the seventh commandment condemns. And the causes the seventh commandment forbids. Beloved congregation, when by renewal we may be gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, then it is important that we remember the purpose of the law. And that is threefold. In the first place, that we may be uncovered, and to that end the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit uncovered to our sins. In the second place, that we may learn that we can never save ourselves, that we cannot satisfy justice, and that it may be used as a schoolmaster to bring us to that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the third place, in the way of gratitude in the life of the child of God, then in the way of uncovering, then the sinner, then the law points to Christ, and then in the way of gratitude, then Christ directs the child of God back to the law, that it may be his guide, and that he may be led. Then the seventh commandment, that deals with one of the two roses, that have been left out of paradise, and I think that most of you know, maybe not the little children, you know what a rose is. That is a beautiful flower. And then those two roses left out of paradise, and they are the Lord's Day, and they are the institution of marriage. And now in the latter days of the earth, Satan has but a short time, then Satan with all the powers of hell joined together, trying to do away and to erase those two roses from off the face of the earth, that there shall not be a reminding that there is a great Creator who has created the heavens and the earth, and especially concerning the institution of marriage, what an attack in so many ways. When we consider the seventh commandment, then there is a difference with the former two commandments. Because concerning the fifth, the first commandment of the second table, when the Lord has created Adam and Eve, then there was no disobedience, no pride, no desire to be our own boss and master. When the Lord has created our parents in the image of God, then there was no murder, there was no anger, there was no envy, and there was no revenge. But now concerning the desires between male and female, that the Lord has created, and that is good, because the Lord has said, when he had created Adam and Eve, in Genesis 1 verse 31, that the Lord saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. Thus those desires between male and female, that is something good. That is something beautiful. That is a gift which the Lord has given unto mankind. But now through our deep fall in Adam, then those desires have become warped, they have become twisted, and they have become perverted. And how manifold and how great the sins are against the seventh commandment. The Lord has said in Genesis 2 verse 18, that it is not good that man be alone. I will make him help meet for him. And the Lord has taken a rib, put Adam to sleep, taken his rib, closed him up, and made a beautiful wife, and brought her unto Adam. It was a perfect marriage, where there was love, and where there was joy. And now concerning the seventh commandment, then the necessity we have read together out of Ephesians 5, where Paul was given to write to the church concerning the institution of marriage, and where the gospel of Jesus Christ has been brought, and word has been blessed, their girls, women, wives, and mothers, they have received their beautiful place. When we read missionary stories of missionaries that they have went to a people that did not have the holy word of God, then nearly always the woman, the wife, the mother was treated as a second-class citizen, many times degraded, an object of lust, many times scolded and even beaten. But were the word of God, a word that has come with power, then there was a transforming of the family circles. They tell us that in the early church, when the gospel was brought to the heathens, that those heathens have paid close attention to the family circles, whether indeed that gospel was powerful to transform lives. Of course, there must also be the renewal of heart. And then oftentimes they were given to see that the relationships became so different, that the husbands were given to love their wives, the wives were given to be in subjection to their husbands, and the children were given to honor their father and their mother. We live in a time where that separation is done away with. A word is not spoken of no more. The headship of the husband and the subjection of the wife. And then Paul, have you heard it in verse 32? To clarify it, because the husband is not to be a dictator, but he is to lovingly instruct and to guide his dear wife. And then Paul was given to say, but I speak of a great mystery. I speak of Christ and his church. Christ as the great bridegroom and the church as the bride. And now in the life of the bride, it is true they many times have to confess that they are not the bride that they ought to be. But when that love and when that faith may be an exercise, tell me, congregation, do you think that it is difficult for a child of God to walk according to this word? No, that is their desire, and that is their prayer, and even more so when the Spirit may lead them into the mysteries of salvation, when they may be given to see what the bridegroom has done to save them, what a dowry he has paid, that he was willing to shed his blood, that he was willing to sacrifice his life, that he may receive a black bride as a reward. Ah, then the church, then they are willing to sacrifice, then they are willing to follow and sown and unsown ways. And that is now the instruction that Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was given to give to the church, that the more love, compassion, tenderness may be shown by the husband to his dear wife, that it is then that wife will be willing to be a willing helpmeet. Thus, when we speak of the seventh commandment, the importance of the family circles, the foundation, I read in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Thus, marriages, biblical marriages, no, not perfect marriages, also on a rose there are thorns, and no perfection, young people. If you expect a perfect marriage, then there shall be disappointments. Nevertheless, what a blessing in the family circle, the headship of the husband, the wife as the vine at home, and a vine needs a wall. Olive plants round about the table, those blessings They are declared in Psalm 127. Psalm 128 we have sung together out of Psalter 360. And then in Psalm 128, when it speaks of the blessed man and of the wife and of children, then twice we read, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Then in the second place, the family circle, when God's word may have authority, that is necessary, and what a blessing for the church. If we consider the epistles of the Apostle Paul, that he has written also the letter to the Ephesians, then in that letter there are 155 verses. And then in the first chapters he has spoken of the wonderful doctrines of salvation, the work of a triune God, and then in the last chapters of sanctification. And now of those 155 verses, then 25 verses of that epistle, thus that is approximately a sixth, that deals with the relationships in the family circle, husbands and wives, and the children. Thus then we see the importance where Paul was given to write to the church, and that he has emphasized the proper place of each, and to that end, the necessity that in the family circles, that God's word, the first marriage present that a husband and wife receive, that it is the centerpiece of their marriage. Then the Lord has promised this blessing, but those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Then it is necessary in the family circle that there is the family altar, family worship, and that there may be spoken of the things of the Lord. It is so closely connected to the seventh commandment, because everyone upon this world needs love, and that love, we live in a world where the world is becoming colder and bolder and so loveless. And then when love is not found in the family circle, husband, wife, children, then there is the great temptation and the great danger that it is sought elsewhere. Thus, the necessity of the family circle. If it is right, then our homes, they should be little sanctuaries. Then also, then it is necessary for family circles, according to the word of God, for the welfare of society, because where must our children receive the first instruction? That is by fathers and mothers. We live in a time that in many countries that the state is trying to take control. Have experienced it in Alberta, that the governments more and more are trying to control the education of our children, and that is not according to the Bible, but that is so contrary to the Bible. In the family circle, there they must be instructed, there they must learn discipline, there they must be taught concerning the needs of our never-dying soul. And now concerning marriages, it has been said that when a couple marries, then there is a great interest in heaven and in hell concerning a marriage. I read in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 10, that the angels are present in the house of God. And I read in Luke 15, verse 10, that the angels are given to repent over ones, are given to rejoice over one sinner that repents. But he also read in the first chapters of Job that Satan goes round about to and fro through the earth to behold the children of men, and therefore the necessity concerning marriages. Oh, young people, may you be given to begin in the right way, and that is with prayer and also with the advice of your parents. And then that advice must not begin when our children become older. It is so necessary, fathers and mothers, that you form that bond. No, we cannot convert them, and we cannot change their heart. But when they are young, oh, try then with the Lord's help, that you may be given to speak out of God's word, but also concerning practical matters, and also concerning seeking one, a husband and a wife. Thus the necessity of marriages for the prospering of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, because when there are marriages in the church that are not so biblical, then in the first place, then God's name shall be blasphemed. In the second place, the church shall not prosper. In the third place, a blessing shall be withheld. In the fourth place, the spirit grieved, and many times. Think of Ahab and Jezebel, how it has continued. Do we not read in the scriptures that many times it continues from generation to generation? And now the instructors, they have said, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, and the temple, those gates, they had to be watched over, they had to be guarded, that temple had to be kept clean, and then the necessity that there is much prayer, unceasing prayer, because congregation, what an evil and what a terrible time that we live in. Concerning the seventh commandment, what used to be sin, that seems to be sin not so more in society and in the church. Are we still shocked at the terrible things that take place? Our second thought, the sins the seventh commandment condemns. We live in a time when there are many enemies of marriage. We shall mention three. In the first place, materialism, that we can be so busy, and the Lord is not like lazy people, and it costs a lot to raise a family. But then it can be in the way of materialism that we are so busy, so many hours, concerning gathering some of the riches of this world, that marriages and that our family circle suffer. And it is not so easy for husbands to balance it all out, and even more so as the brothers of the consistory. And now when a busier season shall come, to divide their time properly between their occupation, the family, and the church, it is not so simple. Nevertheless, materialism, an enemy of marriage. In the second place, this seeking of pleasures, I read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 4, that in the latter days that men shall be lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. And then it can be the world. They are working so they can have fun. Thus, what a danger it can be, the loving of pleasure, and that the family circle suffers. Also, the instruction that our children must receive. And then in the third place, the technology. What a danger and what an enemy that is, as it uses. But what a danger for us and our families. And now concerning the sins, the instructors and Lord's Day number 41, they speak more of the causes, the dangers, than the enticements, than all the sins. We shall mention them. In the first place, polygamy was tolerated in the Old Testament, but the Lord has said from the beginning it was not so, one man and one wife. In the second place, the great sin of adultery, when a husband and a wife, when they have unlawful, unbiblical, sinful relationships. In the third place, fornication. Think of Dinah with Hamor, the son of Shechem. Oh, in our day, then how many that they live together without being married, and the consequences are great. Then we see that the hardening of the heart is becoming greater and greater. Young people, may the Lord remember, may the Lord bless, and may the Lord keep. 'Tis so necessary that marriages that we are given to examine how they begin, where we find our future husband, our future wife, whether it has been in the way of prayer, and whether in that time that you may be given to speak to one another, that you may set the bounds, because it is thus saith the Lord, then it is necessary that our young people also receive instruction in that respect. Then further, unbiblical divorce and unbiblical marriage. In Malachi 2, the verses 14 through 16, that he might seek a godly seed, and that he hateth putteth away. Then the awful sin of incest, when there are unlawful, sinful relationships in family circles, fathers with the daughters think of Lot and his two daughters. It is true, it was more by the instigation of those daughters, usually the other way around. May it not be found amongst us, because it has ruined many a body and many a soul, many a family and many a church. The scars are deep, and we are told that it is nearly just as prevalent in the churches in the world, perhaps, where the fifth commandment is misused. When young people, children, when you have questions concerning these things, then seek one out in authority and ask, tell them. Then next, then we have the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, and in our day the sin of transgenderism. Then we see how far the world has departed from the Word of God. And let us add, because the Lord has made the male and female and I read, and the law of Moses in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, that a woman must not wear what pertaineth to a man. Thus, girls and women, when you do that, then you are also part of that movement. Oh, may God's holy word, may it be our guide. Then the instructors have said, all uncleanness, when our conscience speaks, then we know it is wrong, does not mean when our conscience does not speak, because it can be that our conscience becomes harder and harder, and that it becomes seared. Thus, what saith the word of God? A quarreling and hatred and marriage. And then let us read Matthew 5, verse 28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Thus, then the seventh commandment is also very broad. And now the instructors, then they especially speak of the causes. That is our third thought. But let us first sing of Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 2, and 7. My soul, with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows? 435, 1, 2, and 7. the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. The purity the seventh commandment teaches, the sins the seventh commandment condemns, and now thirdly, the causes the seventh commandment forbids. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? That all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that we must therefore with all our hearts detest the same, and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. And then doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such gross sins, as since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, he commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice thereto. And there is much that entices to this sin. Loose talk, bad talk. In the Bible, we read of dancing, but many times that word does not have the same meaning. Dancing between the same sexes, immodesty. Paul has written to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verse 9, likewise, that women be adorned with modest apparel. And our congregation, then in this week, then catechism, confession of faith, house visitation begins. And is it then too much to ask that our girls, that our women, that they come dressed modestly, that the office bearers do not have to do their labors with a heavy heart, that they do not have to be ashamed, and that they do not have to return at night to their dwellings with a sad and with a grieved heart. May it be in this season that it may be experienced something of what the old apostle John has written to that elect lady in 1 John 2 verse 4, that he was given to say, I greatly rejoiced when I found of thy children walking in the truth. Is that outward walk, is that enough? You know, we need more, but when we go along with the world, then when the spirit is grieved, can we really expect a blessing? But then the spirit shall depart more and more. This congregation, I hope that in this season, that the office bearers may be glad, that there may be seen a respect for God's holy word. Oh, in the world, it seems that there is no shame anymore, that clothing is not worn to conceal, but that it reveals. Then further, the use of alcohol, the misuse. We read in Proverbs 23, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Then it is necessary that Sarah may be in the tent. After Sarah has left the tent in our society, how the sins against the seventh commandment have greatly increased. And then we must speak of ear gate and eye gate. What a music there is that entices to this sin. What a songs there are. May we be guarded. Oh, the Lord in his providence has given to his church that we have many beautiful psalters. And then we must speak of eye gate. and much more so than in early days when we were young and we wanted to see an immodest picture, then we had to go to a store and buy a magazine and sneak it into our house. But now it has become much easier. And when we consider the technology, it has been said that the television that has slain its millions and the internet that shall slay its billions, and therefore it is our calling in the last banner of truce, then the Modern Media Committee have written different articles also over the years to lovingly warn us and our children against the dangers of open internet, and then think of the sin of porn. In our denomination, marriages have been destroyed. There are those that are struggling wives at their wits' end that are dealing with these things, and therefore, congregation, let us do what our hand finds to do. And those articles, the articles that have been written, there is much instruction. Then it is also profitable that parents, that they speak to one another in the midst of the family circles, that we may stand shoulder to shoulder. I know the Lord has to keep us. Nevertheless, I read in Deuteronomy 22, verse 8, when the children of Israel, when they have built a house, they were flat roofs. Then, of course, parents could tell boys and girls, when you play on that roof, you must stay from the side. But then the Lord has given the commandment that they must put a battlement, a guardrail around that roof, that the children would not fall off and that they would not be hurt. And to that end, may we as a congregation, may we be given to do what our hand finds to do, because Satan has 6,000 years experience. The temptations are manifold with the television. Then we have always said that our evil heart has not the power to control that knob. And now it is surprising that you speak to so many people, and it seems that in the last years that human nature is much improved, that they say we do not do those things. Oh, if we have an impression of the evilness of our heart and of the wiles of the devil, oh, the necessity that we may do it prayerfully, because congregation, when marriages are destroyed, when families fall apart, what do we then have left on this life? What a blessing it is when there may still be love in the midst of the family circles. Oh, when it may be seen by our boys and girls what they have said of the Lord Jesus Christ at the grave of Lazarus when he wept, behold, how he loved them, that our children may see with father and mother how they love one another. Then further, then the necessity that with everything that we do, that we trust not in our own strength, and that we trust not in the means, but that we are given to watch and pray. Pray for ourselves, pray for our fellow man, that the Lord may keep us. The Lord may keep us from temptation. When we are struggling with addictions, may we be given to seek help. May we be given to beg the Lord while it can yet and while it may yet. Then in the next place, another danger is when we are idle because of the sin. If we think of the Bible, how many of God's people have fallen into the sin, and then I'm not speaking of their thoughts and of their heart, but by deeds, that they have fallen in the sin of the seventh commandment. We have mentioned Lot, Judah, think of Samson with Delilah. Oh, think of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, that has sung the praises of the Lord. What precious psalms we have, where the psalmist may declare the life of the children of God. And when David, when he was battling the enemy, but there came a time when he had won many victories, and maybe he thought he needed a rest. That does not mean we do not need rest. But when we are idle and have nothing to do, then we are in danger for great temptation. And the third place, that we may have an impression of what Hagar has had when she fled from the tent of Abram, and when she said to the Lord in Genesis 16, verse 13, Lord, thou seest me, that the all-searching eye of the Lord, that he sees us wherever we are, wherever we go, then the necessity that our homes, that they are places where love dwells, and fathers and mothers, that your children, that they may gladly bring their friends along, that they may come to your dwelling, that you may speak with them, that they may do profitable things. We may do many nice and good things, but it is so important what a blessing it is when our young people, when they gladly may bring their friends home to the parental home and to spend a nice evening together. Then further, then we have said not to trust in our own strength and congregation. Then it is a commandment by renewal that is very broad. And then in this evening, in John 8, I read that the Pharisees, they have come to tempt him, try to catch him in his words, whatever answer Jesus would give, that they would have something to accuse. And then they have found a woman caught in the act of adultery, and then they have brought her to Jesus. And then the end was that Jesus has said, whosoever hath no sin, let him cast the first stone. And so, when we consider this commandment, then what is sins? How manifold? How great? And then what is now necessary? That is, David, he has sinned so grievously, and for more than 9 months, he has lived with that sin. But then a Nathan has come, and then he has given that parable, and then a David did not see through it, and then he has said that man must be put to death, and then a Nathan has said, thou art the man. But his sins were forgiven, but the sword would not depart from his house. And then David was given to pen that solemn. And what a precious solemn that is for a sinful people. From that solemn, the poet has written Psalter 140, God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgression now, wash me, make me pure within, Cleanse me from my sin. May that be our prayer. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, it has pleased thee to grant unto us and our children a Sabbath day. And then the doors of thy house have been opened, and thou wast yet given a few words to speak, our Lord. May it please thee to grant the application. And then by renewal, we have spoken of the seventh commandment. Then we humbly beg of thee that thou may graciously watch over our family circles, that love may abound, that thy word may have authority, that we may be a hand and a foot to one another. Oh, the temptations, they are so manifold, and the devil has but a short time, Lord. Wilt thou grant unto all of our young people that in thy providence and in thy favor, that thou may give them a husband, that thou may give them a wife, we may commence another week. Wilt thou graciously remember in the home, at school, at work, on the way, wherever we are called to be, then by renewal we commend unto thee the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, and the house visitation, our Lord. Wilt thou grant a good season, work mightily and irresistibly by thy Spirit. May it please thee to bless all the labors of our hands, and then we may also humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, that thou may grant opportunity, that the parking lot may be hardened before the winter fully sets in. Lord, grant also traveling mercies in this evening hour. Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another, that we may be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, Lord. Convert us as thou hast converted all thy people. Wilt thou forgive everything that was sinful in this day, in speaking and in listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 140, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. A plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now and what follows. Psalter 140, the first three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.